Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Brahmachari Yamuna Tira Brahmachari Radha Madhava
Acharya Stotra Shita Shishimad Shita Vaicharanan Bhakti Virat Saimharar Shita Gopat Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Thakura Hridas Ki Jai Prem Se Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadip Mayapur Dham ki jai, Ganga Devi ki jai, Yamuna Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulasi Maharani ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Hrinama Sankirtana ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Iskan BBT Samsthapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gau Premanande, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudira Yet Nashta Praishu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishne Swadhamo Pagate Dhanamagnanadi Pisaha Kalaunashtudrishamesh Puranarko Dhunoditaha Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5. Text today is number 16. Srishti Apyaya Karim Mayam Vela Kula Anta Vegetam Mattasya Tam Avignasya Kim Asat Karnamapi Bhavet Srishtyapyaya Karim Mayam Vela Kulanta Vegetam Mattasya Tam Avignasya Kimasat Karnam Abhir Bhavet Srishtyapyaya Karim Mayam Vela Kulanta Vegetam Mattasya Tam Avignasya Kimasat Karnam Abhir Bhavet Srishtyapyaya Karim Mayam Vela Kulanta Vegetam Mattasya Tam Avignasya Kimasat Karnam Abhir Bhavet Srishtyapyaya Karim Mayam Vela Kulanta Vegetam Mattasya Tama Vignasya Kimasat Karnam Abhir Bhavet Ladies. Kulanta Vegetan Mattasya Tama Vignasya Kimasat Karnam Abhir Bhavet Srishti Creation Apyaya Disillusion Karim One who causes Mayam The illusory energy Vela Kulanta, near the banks. Vegetam, being very rapid. Mattasya, of one who is mad. Tam, that material nature. Avignasya, who does not know. Kim asat karnamabhi bhavet. What benefit can there be by performing temporary fruitive activities? Translation. Narad Muni had said that there is a river flowing in both directions. The Haryashvas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and disillusion. Thus, the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls into this river is submerged in its waves. And since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he's unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? Please repeat. Narad Muni had said that there is a river flowing in both directions. The Haryashvas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and by dissolution. Thus, the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves. And since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. One may be submerged in the waves of the river of Maya, but one may also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. Near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed by the waves, but simply engages in temporary fruitive activities, what benefit will he derive? In the Brahma Samhita 5.44, there is this statement: Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chaiva yasya bhuvanani bibharti durga. The Maya Shakti, Durga, is in charge of Srishti sthiti pralaya, creation and dissolution. And she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. When one falls in the river of nescience, he's always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge from the Vedic literature, and at the same time, he must practice austerities. To attain freedom from material life, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one very busily engages in the so-called advancement of science, what benefit will he derive? If one is carried away by the waves of nature, what is the meaning of being a great scientist or philosopher? Mundane science and philosophy are also material creations. One must understand how Maya works and how one can be released from the tossing waves of the river of nescience. That is one's first duty. Om Agnanatimirantasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srishti Apyaya Karim Mayam. Vela Kulanta Vegitam. Matasya Tam Avignasya Kim Asat Karma Bhir Bhavet. We've noticed, at least those who are attentive have noticed, I think Prabhupada also points it out here somewhere, that these verses, this passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they all have the same refrain in the final line of each verse. Kim asat karma bhir bhavet? What is the point of asat karma? There are two kinds of karma, asat karma and sat karma. So asat karma means temporary, useless, pointless, fruitive activities. We've learned from the Mundaka Upanishad about the nature of these asat karmas. Parikshya lokan karmichetan brahmano nirvedam ayan nastya krita kritena. It says that if you survey all of life's opportunities, everything in the world, anything that you could do, if you look at that very carefully, parikshya means if you examine, then you should come to a sense of detachment, a sense of disgust, actually, because what should you consider? Akrita kritena. There's nothing here that's not created by somebody else's karma or by my own karma. Everything is just karma here. What is the point of adding karma? Karma plus karma equals? Karma minus karma equals? It's still karma. Karma, karma, karma. That's all we have. Asat karma, temporary. Like the spokes of a wheel, Kalidas says, the spokes of a wheel, when it's spinning very fast, you can't tell which is a spoke and which is not a spoke, because it's just a blur. And any one of those spokes may be on the top at one split second, but in the next split second, how many times split? Quite a few. At the next split second, that spoke will be on the bottom. So going up and down very rapidly spinning like this, what is the point? You cannot attach much significance to the fact that now you may be in Brahmaloka. Now you may be a demigod. Or now you may be in hell. Or now you may be an Indragopa germ. None of it has any substance. Therefore we say it's unreal. Unreal in the sense that it's just temporary. So that's asat karma. And the Upanishad goes on to say, the part that we all know, that if you want to understand what's absolutely true, beyond all of this asat karma, then you have to take firewood in hand. Means you have to be ready to menially serve somebody who knows. This is the point. So, kim asat karma bhir bhavet. He keeps saying the same thing. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's purport, there are three paragraphs. It's like a transcendental sandwich. The first paragraph and the second and the third paragraph, they restate this rhetorical question, because repetition of a thing is necessary in order to drive it into the dull brains of those denizens of Kali Yuga like us. Manda sumandamadi. We have to hear it again and again and again and again and again and then again. Because we don't get it. Now in the middle, Prabhupada said something that's very, very significant. Actually, in the very beginning, he also says something that's very significant. You might not get it from a cursory reading of the purport, but it's very, very important. There are two things that are very, very important. Anybody remember what they are? Very good. Vairagya Vidya is another way of putting it. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Our process is based on knowledge and on austerity. Because knowledge is not complete without austerity. When you hear something, once you're informed of something important, then you have a choice to make. You have to act on what you've heard. And it's not always easy to do that. We'll get to that in a moment. But austerity is very important, actually. Sometimes it takes austerity to get knowledge. And sometimes it takes knowledge to get austerity. Jai Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Pyam Namaha, Sri Sri Krishna Balarama Pyam Namaha, Sri Sri Lalita Vishaka Sahitaratha Shyama Sundara Pyam Namaha. So, about austerity, Srila Prabhupada has written elsewhere in the sixth canto, back in chapter 4, he says in text 50, he's talking about Lord Brahma, Swayambhu. He was attempting to create, and he found himself to be completely incapable. Have you ever attempted to do something that you found yourself completely incapable of doing? So, take note. When Brahma, he executed austerities. And when he executed austerities, Krishna benedicted him. Krishna gave him 9 assistants. Would you like that, Panchagoda? It can help sometimes. 9 assistants. He was blessed with this. Narad Muni is one of them. But I'm going to read Prabhupada's purport because it's very instructive. He says, nothing is possible without tapasya. On another occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, there's no opulence at any time manifested in this world that doesn't have a long history of tapasya behind it. Nothing is free. You have to work for everything. Itadi. Bhagavad Gita also tells us, even to subsist in this world, you've got to perform some austerity, things you don't want to do. So nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabhadev advised his sons, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhye. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. How many times does Krishna say this in Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Yajna dana tapascheva, Shubha Krishna offers. He says this. How many times does he say it? At least twice. Bookmark those things that are repeated in Bhagavad Gita. They're important. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 18, when Krishna is recapitulating and restating those things that are really important, this is one of the verses that he restates. And there is more than one verse that he restates in chapter 18. There are others as well. Those of you who know, you know. So yajna dana tapascheva, sacrifice, charity, austerity, he said, these things are never to be given up, even by someone who's renounced. Chapter 18 is about renunciation. In that chapter, Krishna also instructs Arjuna, when you give up something that you can hardly even do, when you give up following something that you're essentially unable to follow, you don't get the result of the austerity. Naiva tyaga phalam labhet. You don't get the result. It doesn't count. We'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, this is the point. Sacrifice and charity and austerity, these things, they're the common denominator through all the vidhis or the injunctions of the shastra that tell us to do things. Generally, we have to do things we don't want to do, and that's austerity. That's also sacrifice. Charity involves the same. They're very closely related, and that purifies the heart. The acharyas, commenting on the initial, say, five chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, they make it very clear that until the heart is purified, that is to say, until the intelligence is also purified thereby, you can't really cultivate jnana. So, therefore, I said, it takes austerity to cultivate jnana. The adhikar for jnana is created through karma. And karma, in its strict sense, means dharma. Dharma means ritual action that is enjoined in the shastra to purify your heart. Therefore, Krishna says, one of the first symptoms of knowledge, where does he say this? In chapter 16, when he's describing what is the divine nature. He's characterizing one of the symptoms of a person with a divine nature, sattva samshuddhi. His existence has been purified through dharma and through jnana as well. So karma and jnana, these are two things. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead, but let me finish Prabhupada's purport. In our material existence, this is from 6450 again. In our material existence, we are impure. And therefore, we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. So what does austerity mean for us here and now? We're not, I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday, and Prabhupada said, so many sages, they've executed austerities for 60,000 years. You're not being asked to do that. What kind of austerities do we perform in ISKCON? What kinds of austerities has Prabhupada specifically enjoined for the members of ISKCON? Very good. Somebody says four regulative principles. That is confirmed in Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 27 and 28, which we're approaching. In Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 25, very nice purport, Srila Prabhupada also suggests following Ekadashi. It's a very, very important thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really stressed this. Ekadashi is very, very important. Bhakti Janani, it's the mother of devotion. If you take care of your mother, you will get devotion. You see? Now, Prabhupada further warns in the same purport that there is one thing that destroys the result of austerity, just as having a dubious motive destroys the result of your renunciation. So what is it that actually destroys the result of your austerity? Anybody know? Huh? Faithlessness? That's true. That's not untrue. What he said is intoxication is also not untrue. What kind of faithlessness, what kind of intoxication? Specifically, he mentions in that purport, 1.17.25, pride. If you're proud, then all of your austerities are in vain. Very, very important. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 10, Krishna also talks about austerity. Anybody know that verse? Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashtaha bahovo jnana tapasa putamad bhavam agataha. Krishna says, jnana tapasa. Knowledge itself is an austerity. And the acharyas commenting on this verse, they point out that knowledge is austere in two ways. Number one, it's actually difficult to learn new things. We fight against learning, you know, bending our paradigm or changing our paradigm altogether. We ensconce ourselves very comfortably in our mental universe, and we don't like it when somebody comes along and pops that illusion. We don't like it. We fight. We rebel against that. It's not easy to learn something completely new. You have to stretch your mind. Any kind of exercise is not easy. Those who do yoga, they know. It's, you know, if you push yourself, well, my Sanskrit professor in college used to say, no pain, no gain. So again, it comes back to austerity. So there are many reasons that it's not easy to learn new things. First of all, you have to study very carefully every day. This is the difference between default faith of your samskar, which is kind of like a gas tank that is empty, but the fumes in the tank are enough to run the car. You know, people have faith by nature, according to their previous samskars, but that doesn't really work for very long because basically the tank is empty. You have to keep filling it up. Therefore, we say, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day you have to hear this Bhagavatam. One day goes by, you don't hear it. You may feel it or you may not feel it, but the effect is there, zarur. So, it's difficult to learn new things. It's difficult to practice this study regularly. In fact, Krishna describes this also in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. Chapters 17 and 18, they're so wonderful if we study them carefully. There's so much practical wisdom is there, practical wisdom. So Krishna says, there are three modes, we know, three modes of everything, and there are three modes of intelligence also. What is the nature of sattvic intelligence? He says, Pravittim cha navrittim cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham cha yaveti buddhi sa partha sattviki. Sattvic intelligence means you can understand what is to be done, what's not to be done. What's to be feared, what's not to be feared. What's bondage and what's liberation. You can see everything clearly. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, one time he said, Krishna consciousness means to, or intelligence means to know who is who and what is what. That is sattvic intelligence. Yaya dharmam adharmam chakarya chakarya mevacha ayathavat prajanati buddhisa partha rajasi. Rajasic or passionate intelligence means you can't tell, is this dharma or is it not dharma? Should I do this or should I not do this? You see? You can't see anything very clearly. Why? What gets in the way of your intelligence? Desire. What you want. We want something so bad. We were hearing this the other day. For the last few days we've been hearing. We want what we want so badly that we're prepared to live in an illusion in order to get it. Even though we hear every day that it's an illusion, we still make the same mistakes every single day. The best part of Badrinath Maharaj's class was the mechanical rabbit. Did you remember this? You can't relate here in India. You don't have such frivolous things yet. But in America, they have dog racing, and they take a little mechanical rabbit that runs around a track, and the dog, you know, the dog's nature, he has to chase anything like this. So he's chasing after this mechanical rabbit, but every few years one of the best racing dogs that somebody's making a fortune off of, he figures it out that, wait a minute, this is not a real rabbit, and then he's gone. You cannot change that dog after that point. He'll never come back. In exactly the same way that we heard the other day, when a person actually understands what is pratyagdhamma, the spiritual realm, then he doesn't come back again. And in the same way, when one surrenders to desire, and becomes so attached to passion and desire, then that person goes to the subterranean heavenly planets, and again, he's never seen again. Practically speaking, this is what the Acharyas tell us. So passion and intelligence is clouded by desire. Now, here's the worst one. Adharnamam dharnamam iti ya manyate tamasavrita sarvartan viparitanscha buddhi sa partha tamasi. Ignorant intelligence, tamasic intelligence, means you think that something that is dharma is actually adharma. This is the problem. You think that something is that should be done is actually something that should be avoided. This is the problem. And you're striving constantly in the wrong direction. You're always going to do, given a choice, you will always do the wrong thing when you're in tamoguna. It's such an unfortunate position. T.S. Eliot, very wise, very learned poet, Nobel laureate, he actually knew Sanskrit as well as several other classical languages, and he studied the Upanishads. He said, from wrong to wrong, the exasperated spirit proceeds, until refined somehow or other. From wrong to wrong. This is tamasic intelligence. So, therefore, it's described here. Acharyas have described it in different ways. What does it mean for somebody who is matta? The word here is used matta, mad. Avijna is a synonym of matta. He doesn't know. What does he not know? This is the important thing that Prabhupada says twice, in the first paragraph of the purport and in the third paragraph of the purport again. You have to know how Maya is working. How is Maya working? You have to understand the material energy. And that's not easy. That takes knowledge, which is in austerity. Now, another reason that knowledge is in austerity, according to Ramanuja, actually according to all the Acharyas, commenting on this verse, 4:10, Bahovo Gyanatapasa, knowledge is in austerity because once you have knowledge and decided that you have to act on that knowledge, other people do not necessarily appreciate it. This is another thing. To share, you have an obligation to share what you know. Otherwise, you become envious, Prabhupada said. And if you don't share it with others, you become envious. But if you do share it with others, then they become envious. Therefore, knowledge is an austerity in that sense as well. So there are many other reasons that knowledge is austere, but there's a very interesting one that I'd like to share with you because it's not something that we talk about so much. But even the demigods do not like it when you get knowledge. It's not just the multinational corporations who don't like it when you get knowledge. It's not just the administrators or the politicians who don't like it when you get knowledge. Even demigods don't like it when you get knowledge. Why? Because in this world, everybody thrives on others' ignorance. That's how we thrive in this world. So the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad has stated this very nicely in book number 1, chapter 4, passage number 10. Now, bear with me, because this is, after all, the Upanishads, and it's not easy to understand. Sounds impersonal. In the beginning, this world was only Brahman, and it knew only itself, Atman, as Brahman, thinking, I am Brahman. As a result, it became Brahman. Among the gods, likewise, whoever realized this, they became Brahman. It was the same also among the seers and among the humans. Upon seeing this very point, the seer Vamadeva proclaimed, I was Manu, and I was the sun. This is true even now. If a man knows I am Brahman in this way, he becomes Brahman. Not even the gods are able to prevent it, for he becomes their very self. So when a man venerates another deity thinking he is one, I am another, he does not understand. Here's the point that I want to make. As livestock is for men, so he is for the gods. As having a lot of livestock is useful to a man, so each man proves useful to the gods. The loss of even a single head of livestock is painful. How much more if many are lost? The gods, therefore, are not pleased at the prospect of men coming to understand this. They don't like you to check out of the system of karma, asat karma, because they subsist on your sacrifice. That's why Krishna, one of many reasons why Krishna tells us not to give it up. The universe, the smooth running of the cosmos in Vedic language is called Ritta. This universal creation of the Lord, it actually runs on the basis of sacrifice and charity and austerity. We support it. Therefore, the demigods don't like to lose even one person to Gyan, because it cuts out of their paycheck, so to speak. Remember I said, everybody thrives on others' ignorance, even the devatas. Now this is it's amplified or explained in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In chapter 4, you all know the story of Naranarayan Rishi, how he was tested by Cupid. So in text number 10, in that connection, it's describing, the demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles, but because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he's able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods place before him. Have you ever had any difficulties in Krishna consciousness? Not necessarily difficulties with Krishna consciousness, but difficulties although you're in Krishna consciousness. They still come, don't they? They don't go away. And back in the 5th canto, I remember Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had explained with regards to Priyavrata Maharaj. Priyavrata Maharaj did not want to get married, right? Isn't it? But they forced him to get married. And what happened when he got married? He suffered by following the instruction of his authority. Has it ever happened to you? You don't have to answer. You see? Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that there are three reasons that a devotee has to suffer. One reason, he's committed offenses. That's numero uno. That's the primary reason. Usually that's what explains why we suffer in Krishna consciousness. Another reason is that we may have some bad karma, as you know, karmani nirdahati. Krishna will burn up our karma, but he doesn't necessarily burn all of our karma all at once. Sometimes if he sees fit, he lets us go through Saturn period or Rahu period or whatever it is. These are called Krura Grahas. Graha. Graha means he grabs you. That's what the planets do. When you're under the administration of one of these planets, there's nothing you can do. In the same way that when you're in the strong current of Maya, there's nothing you can do because you don't have the capacity. It's meant to be. You see? Graha. So, Hitopadesha has told us in very poetic language about this. Sahi gagana vihari kalamachat dvangsakari dashashatakaradhari jyotisham madhyachari vidurapi vidhiyogad grasyate rahunasau likhinamapi lalate pronsitam kahasamartha. That means that even the sun who is shining up, biologists know, all life in this world depends on the sun. The sun is illuminating this world in exactly the way that the soul illumines the body with consciousness. The sun enlivens this entire universe with life through its divine energy, Ashesha Teja, infinite energy. Therefore, the sun is considered to be a representative of Narayana, Surya Narayana. Because how do you explain this infinite energy except through Achintya Shakti, which is the Lord's energy? You see? So, Kalamasha Dvangsakari, Dashashatakaradhari, he has 10,000 hands. What does it mean to have 10,000 hands? What are the hands of the sun god? Kirana, his rays. Each ray of the sun is considered to be one of his hands. Therefore, Dashashatakaradhari, he bears not 10 hundred hands, 1,000 hands, same thing. So, and Kalamasha Tvangsakari, with those hands he dispels all the darkness of this world. And Jyotisham Madhyachari Vidhurapi, even if you are the moon, who is the best of all the stars, Srila Prabhupada often says, Chanakya Pandit also says, right? So many stars in the sky at night, but one moon outshines them all, isn't it? But even these great planets, sometimes they have to be swallowed, isn't it? By whom? Rahu Graha, you see? Therefore, likhitam api lalate, whatever is written on your forehead, pranchitam kaha samartha, who is able to overcome that? You see? So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, sometimes it's your karma. Now, here's a third thing. Sometimes Krishna, for his own inscrutable reason, wants to place you into suffering. And there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do. Right? Mare Krishna rakhe ke. Rakhe Krishna mare ke. When Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. When Krishna wants to kill you, who are you going to run to? I'll answer that question. You go to Srimati Radharani. And that brings us to the middle part of Prabhupada's purport. Remember I said, the important thing is in the middle here. Now let's listen closely. I'll read it again. Prabhupada here writes, the Maya Shakti, Durga, is in charge of Srishti Sthiti Pralaya, creation and dissolution, and she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Maya Dhyakshena Prakatihi. When one falls in the river of nescience, he's always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. So Maya is really Durga and Lakshmi and Srimati Radharani, they're really all the same person. They're all Srimati Radharani or her part and parcel expansions. In exactly the same way that all the forms of divinity that manifest in Vedic literature, they're actually only Vishnu or Krishna or his expansions or his amshas or kalas or representatives, you see. So you've got Srimati Radharani and then you've got Lakshmi. Lakshmi is in this material world. And then she's the wife, the consort of Narayana, Satya Narayana. Then when Vishnu is curdled, so his consort also becomes curdled. She becomes Durga. Durga means you can't get out. You can't get out. Just like a person stuck in the current cannot get out. So that Sridhar Swami has commented on this verse. Velakulam pravahapatitanam nirgamasthanam tapovidyadi. There are two ways to get out, tapo and vidya. If you agree to accept those things, austerity and knowledge, then you can get out of this current. Otherwise, Durga. You see? But there's another aspect here that I'd like to emphasize. And I'm going to quote a very similar verse to the one that Srila Prabhupada has quoted in his purport. This is, I think, the opening verse of Madhvacharya's, what does he call that? Dvadasha Stotra. He wrote 12 prayers when he received the deity Rupi Shri Krishna down in South India. It's a real shame. I just visited Udupi, and the same beach that this deity of Krishna appeared to Madhvacharya, now it's become an amusement park. And people are doing these, I don't know what you call it, but they basically put themselves on a big kite and wear water skis, and they're trailed by a motorboat, and then they fly up in the air, and then they come down again. I don't know what you call it, but they're doing that now in India. Therefore, I said it's just a matter of time before you get greyhound racing in India as well. They'll figure it out, just like they figured out how to listen to country and Western music here in India also. Anyway, Nirgamasthanam, the exit point. Nirgamasthanam means exit point, is knowledge and austerity. But he says in his Dvadasha Stotra, Srishti Stitri Pralaya Sarga Mahavibhute Vritti Prakasha Niyamavrita Bandha Mokshaha. A little similar, but a little different also. What are the items listed here? Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya. Okay, that much we're good. Durga does that. Lakshmi also does that. Mahavibhuti, the great wonders, they are created by Lakshmi. Shri, opulence itself means Lakshmi. What kind of opulences? What kind of great wonders? Vritti, whatever it is that you can do, whatever it is that maintains or sustains you, that's called vritti. Prakasha, when you're enlightened, that's coming through Lakshmi's grace. Niyama, when you have vows, when you're disciplined, that's her grace. Avrita, when you're thrown into Maya, Mahamaya, that's also through the agency of Lakshmi. Banta, you get bondage, or moksha as well. All of it comes from Lakshmi. Yasya apanga lava matrita urjita sa shri yat kataksha balavati ajitam namami. He's offering his obeisances unto the unconquered Supreme Lord, but it's ironic because the Lord actually is conquered, and he's conquered through Lakshmi. And this is the power of Lakshmi. By her mere sidelong glance, she affects all these things. And Lakshmi herself is conquered by whom? Who conquers Lakshmi? Jayashri. Who's Jayashri? Srimati Radharani. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his commentary on Krishna Karnamritam, first verse. He describes Jayashri, the word is used. Jayashri means that form of Shri who conquers Shri herself. That is Srimati Radharani, the original form of Shri. Just like Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, she is also Swayam Vladini Shakti. So by her grace, we can get out of this Maya. But it's not going to happen unless you accept tapo and jnana, knowledge and austerity. There's a lot more that we can say, but the time is up right now, so I'm going to end. Just one thing I should mention in passing. Sridhar Swami has given an alternative explanation of this verse, in which he says that just as you have a river that flows two ways. What are the two ways that the river flows? Srishti and Apyaya. What does that mean? Creation, destruction. So he interprets this in a different way. He says it's like the ocean. Because in the ocean also you have waves coming in and coming out. They create a current. Anyone who has grown up in California knows that when you're a child and you go to swim in the ocean, the waves can really mess you up. you think it's very innocuous, but then you wake up with a mouth full of sand and gasping for breath. That happened to me when I was young. Everybody learns. You see? So there's also a vagum in the ocean. And he says, but here, this is the ocean of material existence. And what kind of vagum is in that ocean? What kind of currents going both ways? What does Srishti and Apyaya mean in this ocean of birth and death? Within the body, he says, of a living entity, there's birth and there's death. Because birth is also creation, death is also dissolution. So you have your personal birth, you have your personal destruction. This is another way to look at it. You cannot get out of this current. of birth and death, without tapasya, without vidya, and ultimately, where do these lead? Without grace. Who's grace? His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyone have any questions or any comments? Badri Narayan Maharaj, please enlighten us.
I have a small one, and I have a larger one. Someone asked the larger one. Pride destroys austerity. But austerity is also supposed to produce knowledge. Why doesn't the knowledge produced destroy the pride? What is the cycle there that causes the pride to eclipse the knowledge when one practices austerity?
It's like capital. When you have capital to invest in a business venture, what is your line of credit? How much knowledge do you have? What do you desire also? That's another thing, even more important than knowledge. Have you noticed? Desire is always more influential than knowledge. I mean, people do what they want to do no matter what they know or don't know. We do what we want to do, no matter what we know or don't know. So one thing, it depends on our desire. That ball is always in our court. We can go anywhere we want to. Bodhijan Prabhu asked us, therefore, what do you really want? You have to think about this. This is the point of human life. So desire is one thing, but if you don't have enough knowledge, then even you have some sincerity, but it's just not going to be enough. The gas tank is not... doesn't have enough gas to get you to where you want to go. So therefore I said, we have to hear every day. We have to repeat every day. We have to gradually, very slowly, it takes some time. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan. We become full in knowledge after many, many births, really. But we practice diligently. And to the extent that we practice intensely, that's called tivra bhakti, then we go so much further. Is that answering your question? Anything? You had a bigger
question. Was what were the nine assistants of Brahma?
I think he's talking about the nine mental sons of Brahma. No, that would make sense. Yes, Shubha Krishna. Microphone.
We also hear that.
Because they've got their own program. They're putting something south. They're not giving it to Krishna, all of it. That's what they're called, Sakama devotees. They're not pure. Just to resurrect an ugly chapter of ISKCON history, I remember when one of my godbrothers who prematurely accepted disciples ultimately fell down and left Krishna consciousness. You know, another elder godbrother explained it like this, that when you have water that's flowing through a clean sieve, chalni, then there's no problem. But if the sieve is not completely clean, then the water is going to back up inside of it, you see? And that becomes heavy, and how much weight can a person sustain, you see? So demigods, they have their sakama devotees. They have their desires. They have their own program apart from Krishna to some degree. They do it in a very pious way, but they're still a little bit... I mean, karma and gyan means that you want to either exploit Krishna's things or sometimes even Krishna himself in the case of sahajiyas. You either want to exploit Krishna and his property or you want to escape his authority or his representatives. These are the two things. They're called karma and jnana. And even the demigods have this. So therefore they don't like it. When a person becomes completely pure, Krishna conscious, then, you know, that's cutting out of my paycheck, as I said. You see? Does that explain? Anything else? There's a question back here. Panditji.
Thank you very much, Mukunda, for your elaborate class and many interesting points. I have a question that's I was always wondering about. The demigods accept the sacrifice, but very often these sacrifices are something that even the devotees do touch. Animal sacrifices. So what is it that they actually accept? What is it that they actually eat? And the second part, how our Sankirtan Yajna in this time can nourish the demigods in absence of all those classic sacrifices present, mentioned somewhere?
Well, you have two questions. The first one is that the devatas, sometimes Prabhupada says, they actually don't accept the offerings. Just like if you go to Kolkata, Kali Ghat temple, you see they're sacrificing goats. It's a bloody disturbing affair. And Prabhupada has said that, you know, she doesn't actually eat those things. She hands it to her Buddha associates. You see? On the other hand, another thing to consider is that for demigods, they have a different relative standard of what is pure and what is impure. So what is contaminating for us is relative to our material conditioning and not necessarily theirs. So they may or may not be affected by whatever it is that we offer or whatever they accept. Now, the second part of your question is the subject of another lecture. How is it that the Sankirtan movement nourishes Jagan Mangalam Hamhasam? He's stated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. The entire universe becomes auspicious through Sankirtana Yajna. It is, I mean, you know, we can go on and on and on, glorifying the holy name, but, you know. We have seven flames from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastaka. You know, that's enough. You know, the effects that are described in the first verse of the Shikshastika, they apply, I think, universally. They purify everyone. Demigods, human, everyone, animals. I'm just going to... You're going to have to be satisfied with a short answer for that one, because it's too much to talk about. Is that okay? Permission granted. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji.
Austerity and knowledge can also be under three goodness.
Yes. Yes, very good point. In chapter 17, also to some degree in chapter 18, Krishna has described that austerity and knowledge can also be modified according to the gunas, according to the different modes. So this is a very good point. That's why we have to understand. This is all called sambandha gyan, to know what are the relationships between all things in this world, between the worlds, And the spiritual realm, sambandha, anything that relates, and everything is interrelated. You have to know that. That's austerity. It's not easy, you see. But without this sambandha gyan, it is not very likely that we can chant without offense. That's why we have nine cantos full of sambandha gyan before we get to Krishna Lila. We have to be elevated through knowledge. Yes.
Another comment is according to the liberation by Jnana, by knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Vaishnava Siddhanta, it's by surrender.
Yes. I quoted that verse already.
Yeah. Without Maya.
Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate.
What's the impetus of surrender? So, I mean, you know, it's just passed it off back.
Yeah. It's kind of a catch-22 situation. Yeah. It's like offenseless chanting is how you go back to Godhead, but you become offenseless by chanting. The same thing, you see. So all of them go together, as I said. It's all interrelated. So we are patient. We follow the regulative principles. We keep in good association. We give up nonsense. We, you know, the six things that Rupa Goswami has advised. This is, we have to be patient, determined, faithful, etc. Pure in our habits. These things are important. Kirtan Premi?
Just in short, what is the difference between a person in Krishna consciousness and one practicing?
What is the difference between a person in Krishna consciousness and a person who is not practicing Krishna consciousness?
Who is practicing? Because you said instructed by...
Oh, I see, I see. No, I didn't make a distinction between a practitioner and a Krishna conscious person. The distinction was between a person who suffers outside of Krishna consciousness and a person who suffers within Krishna consciousness. You see? Devotees also have to suffer, but their suffering is very closely monitored by the person who loves them more than anyone else, namely Krishna, or Srimati Radharani, or her representatives.
And as you said, it's purposeful.
It's purposeful. He's not going to let you go so easily. Even if you decide, I'm going to give up my chanting and just embrace Maya fully. Actually, several of the acharyas commenting on this verse have taken note of this. It sometimes people make that determination. But Krishna doesn't let you go so easily. He doesn't do it. I don't want to take too much time here because it's already late, but in the verse that I cited from the 11th canto, chapter 4, text number 10, Jiva Goswami in his purport of that verse has described very elaborately how even if a devotee has to suffer some reverses that are deliberately placed by fate or by demigods, you know, still he can conquer through bhakti if he remains determined to follow that process, you see. Okay, I think we have to stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
You know you have to take daily vitamins. So I think you vitamin B Bhagavatam. So thank you very much for a good dose of vitamin B. You need to hear regularly. Thank you. Nice class. You know. I don't know. They're trying to figure what to say. But I can see you're like going through the Rolodex. You know. Okay, how do you know? Because there's so much there. Thank you so much.